I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With Rhys Darby and Dan Schreiber.
And we are back.
Yes.
Oh, before anything else is said, I just need to say how excited I am. I have been waiting like a little kid at Christmas for this episode. It's so exciting.
I can see it. I can see it in your
face.
Oh
my God. There is nothing else I want to talk about apart from Dan Schreiber and his 3-year-old child, Wilf, having a past life experience.
Headline newsmakers.
Wait.
Oh!
Wait, guys. Before we go into that, I want to say not only welcome back to the listeners, but also this particular episode is a special edition. It is, in fact, the comeback special.
Oh!
In more ways than one. Because we are back.
Yeah, that's good.
And as humans, the theory is that we do come back, and we've got some astonishing news on that front from the one and only Dan Schreiber. So let's kick into it. This episode will be a little different because we're really going to dive into the past lives scenario. So, yeah, exciting stuff.
Very exciting stuff.
Before we dive into the past life theory and all that it entails, and fingers
and tails.
I think we should dive into some weekly World Weird News and then progress into a more in-depth discussion on past life. So it's going to be very exciting. I know that Buttons is very well read on the subject, and he even made me watch a doco on it, which was
really?
Which was astonishing. So that will all be unveiled. I think I'm just making up words today.
Unveiled's good.
Unveiled's a word.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's not. You wouldn't usually use it in the context you did just then. It still worked, but that's why it felt odd.
Yeah.
You introduced it in a place where it almost didn't belong, but it still did.
Okay. Well, that's normal for me. So that was actually great.
That was totally expected. Yeah.
Okay. Let's do our world famous segment, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
Welcome back, everyone.
Weekly World Weird News.
Crazy, freaky, watch out.
Okay, headlines.
I've obviously got a headline, which is to do with what we're going to be talking about majoritively. So can I just chuck in a very quick one?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
This is just a slightly weirdish story. It doesn't fully fit into our segment, but Michael Caine, the actor, has just revealed that he spent 8 years trying not to blink.
What?
He read in an actor's book that not blinking on screen makes you a more interesting person, more mesmerizing. So he used to try in real life not to blink. So for an 8-year period, he just tried as hard as he could not to do it. And it turns out if you watch any movie with Michael Caine in it, just watch his eyes, he doesn't blink. He makes sure he doesn't blink in any scene. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. He read it in a book called Teach Yourself Acting. He said,
so good.
I love Michael Caine. Yeah. That's classic him.
But who knew? Who knew this whole time he doesn't blink? All his characters, no matter who they are, they don't blink. That's the one thing they all share.
And so you've got to ask yourself, was it worth it? Because we didn't know until now that has been revealed that he wasn't blinking. So was it a waste of time?
Yeah.
Or was he so good that we just didn't realize it and we got the joy out of it without realizing it?
Yeah, that's very subtle.
Yeah. So apparently, it's not only Michael Caine that uses this method. Anthony Hopkins didn't blink in Silence of the Lambs either.
Oh, wow.
You know, maybe this is the secret to becoming one of the greats.
Yeah.
Don't blink in a movie. You become mesmerizing.
There's a few actors' secrets out there, you know, that obviously aren't so secret now. Thanks, Dan. But there's a few little reveals that you can work with to certainly have a better performance in front of the camera. Now, I know that with the when you've got to cry, and sometimes I need to cry, you don't blink then because your eyes will well up.
Ah.
And the other thing I do is I can stare into lights. There's always lights on a set, and you just look at them, and then just before action, and then you turn around and don't blink, and then your eyes are bound to water over, and so you can use that to your advantage if you're supposed to be crying in a scene.
Wow. When did you cry?
Have you cried? I haven't seen you cry in anything I've watched.
Really?
It would be the Duck movie, surely.
Possibly, but also in Wrecked and in the current show, there's some weeping. I normally play characters that are pretty forlorn and also a little pathetic in some ways, but they have a confidence that they shouldn't have, but there's an underlying feature that they aren't really good enough. And if you capture them in a certain moment, you can spot me crying. It's not always on camera. I'm just talking about me. It's not characters.
Oh, right, right. Okay, gotcha.
Mr. Darby, I noticed you're crying. You're just about to go on. The scene's just about, are you ready?
I'm fine.
You're staring into the lights there. You're just about to go on the called action, actually.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Good. Go and be funny.
Do you sometimes use it as well, like when you're out shopping with Rosie and Rosie tells you that you can't have the PlayStation game that you really want, and then you look up into the lights of the store and quickly turn around and have all tears in your eyes and all sad? And
yeah, sometimes if you catch me out in public with my eyes wide open and like clearly not blinking, it's because I want to cry soon. So obviously I haven't been allowed to do something or...
So have you
used it in real life?
Have you ever been in a scene where it's a long scene, but you have to cry at the end of it, so
yes,
your eyes just widen?
I have, and I've used the lights in the scene to my advantage. So I'll walk over to a lamp or something, and it'll be like we'll be doing an emotional scene or a, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, but I know I've got to cry at the end of it. So I'll just head over towards the lamp, and even though that's not where I'm supposed to be in the scene, the camera will follow me, and they'll go, "What's he going? Oh, he'll be improvising something here." And I just look at the lamp with my eyes like this. And I, you know, and then my line will come up, and then I'll turn around and I'll start crying.
She shouldn't have left me.
And then no one asks, why did he go over to the lamp? But maybe some people do ask that.
These are the great secrets, man.
I like how I made Michael Caine's big news story all about me. I don't know why. So I'm the kind of guy at weddings that goes, oh, yeah, this is a great wedding. Did I tell you about my wedding? Just when the bride and groom are right up the front and they're just about to do the vows, I'm sort of sitting there going, I love this, but when I had my wedding, we were in a different type of building and I remember the music was very different. I was so nervous. I remember walking up the aisle and I knew it was going to be my big day, and then I spotted in the corner a lamp and I thought, oh, fuck, here we go. So I actually darted out in the different direction, you know, and the bride was coming up the aisle and and I'm over by the lamp and I'm staring at it. That I then returned and it's a beautiful moment where I'm crying during the vows. And I remember Rosie thinking, God, he's good.
Very emotional.
I quite like the idea that in Hollywood, if you go to like the local corner store and you're buying bulbs, on the package itself, it's got the wattage but also level of cry acting that you could achieve with it.
Yeah. Are these for your house or for acting? Well, I want a bulb that can do both, really, because I do need bulbs, but I've got an acting gig coming up. Oh, okay. Well, here's a 60 watt. This is going to be great. And it's actually small enough that you can keep it in a very small pocket-sized acting lamp. That's perfect. Thank you.
Flashlight. Okay, you know what we need to do? We need to invent a torch that you can take on set that's got a dimmer on it. And on the dimmer, it goes from a wet eye all the way to ugly crying. And you can dial it up to the right level. It goes, oh, so what is this scene? What do you need from this, Mr. Director? Oh, you just need some weeping, do you? Okay, I'll just click it up to the weeping and then hold it in front of your eye. Just get the right, exact right amount of.
Well, here's my other thing. Here's my other freaky thing that I can do. Pirates use this as well. If you want to be able to see in the dark, of course, you have one eye closed so that pupil gets used to the dark. Okay, so like, and it's quite a, you know, no one wants to walk around with one eye closed necessarily because it's a hard thing to do. But because of my lamp skills, I can easily close one of my irises like that, and the other one can remain absolutely fine looking around, and the other one is just perfectly shut. You wouldn't, you know, it's like it's been taped down, you know.
That's amazing.
And that's actually incredibly hard to do for a normal human. And what's happening here is I've got the lamp on the right eye, and so that's getting ready to cry. The left eye, absolutely not affected at all. So when I end up crying, and I know the camera's on this side, it only sees this eye, I can then cry out of this eyeball of use. But with the other one, I can absolutely see what's going on once I open it. No tears in that one at all. And, of course, we're in the dark because the lamp's been turned off and everyone's going, oh, how do we get out of here? I'm walking out absolutely no probs with one crying eye.
You know that trick where they do the thing where actors will paint half of their face and wear like a dress on one side?
Yes.
You could do an emotional scene where you're crying.
Yes.
And then you turn and, damn it, get a hold of yourself, you know,
yes.
The other eye.
That's a great. Oh, we're gonna have to do that.
All right, let's move on, eh?
What have you got, Reese?
So this is a little older than a couple of weeks, but there was quite a backpile. He says, risking the wrong word in the wrong context, of messages from the fans.
Got some piles in the back.
Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? As long as it's in the ballpark,
it makes total sense.
The back pile.
Yeah. Exactly, total sense. It worked. It's not technically what you would use, but it worked perfectly.
The Derbyisms are not technically what you would use, what the traditional person would use, but they're near enough. Now, backlog. There we go. I think that's the actual term. There's been a backlog.
No, I like backpile.
I like backpile. Yeah,
backpile. I think my one's better. I think it's better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Of messages, from the Cryptid Knights. You know, who always send us stories via the interweb. Mm. There's one here from the BBC. A man in a contraption washes up in Florida after trying to run on water. Did you guys hear about this?
I saw that one.
No,
I heard about this. It's brilliant.
So a man who wanted to run on water from Florida to New York.
How far is that?
Oh, my God.
That would be hard enough to do on land,
let alone
doing it in the water.
Yeah. Well, he's been found washed up on the Floridian coast in a large hamster wheel-like contraption. So his name's Reza Balucci, and he told the local media he was traveling 1,000 miles north from Florida's east coast for charity. So it was for charity. This is what he says.
Wow.
However, he ended up 30 miles south of his start point in St. Augustine.
Oh.
Mr. Balucci encountered complications that brought him back to shore and was safe with no injuries. The US Coast Guard came to help him. The sheriff's office added, and to ensure the vessel and occupant are USCG compliant for their safety moving forward. So that's USCG, obviously US Coast Guard. Images taken by the sheriff's office show a large human-sized cylindrical container with multiple floating devices attached to each side. Mr. Bellucci told the local station Fox 35 News that he was raising money for public services, including the Coast Guard. He's raising money for the Coast Guard by having to be rescued by the Coast Guard.
Oh, my God. Oh, they'd be coming in to pick him up, and he's like, oh, thank you for saving me. I've got $27 that I've raised so far. I might as well hand that to you now. I hope that helps. Well, it's cost us $2,000 to come out and save you.
Yeah.
And also, he wouldn't have raised it because did he go minus the miles that he needed to, did you say? Did he go?
Oh, he went 30.
He went 30 miles south.
Yeah.
He has to pay. He has to pay it back.
It's the worst possible scenario here.
The Coast Guards would turn up, and he would be like, "I've been raising money for you, so." But as it turns out, actually, I've gone backwards, so you guys owe me. Let me just calculate it. 30 miles backwards.
That's maybe why he's doing it. $270,
you guys. You guys, have you just...
I was raising money for you guys, like I always try to, but unfortunately I did go the wrong way. So now you're going to have to pay me. I'm just calculating it now. I basically just did the same joke you did, Buttons, but... This is how in sync we are. I just wanted to perform it slightly better.
You should have this on when Reese is on stage. You should be in his ear like this, just feeding him the next gag that he can just repeat.
IIVI.
IIVI. Miss those guys.
Yeah. So he added that he had tried to make journeys in the contraption, which he calls his bubble, before. He's tried before. In 2014, he had to be rescued from a similar contraption near St. Augustine. And then 2 years later, he again had to be rescued off the coast of Jupiter near Palm Beach in Florida. And he says, "I will show people anything you want to do, do it," he told Fox. "Don't listen to anyone. Chase your dreams."
Wow.
So he's done it 4 or 5 times, having to be rescued each time. And I just don't know what to say about this guy. I love him.
He's wonderful.
Great.
Here's the picture here so you can have a look. It looks pretty amazing.
Looks like wow.
It looks like it's made up out of old fishing buoys.
Yeah. It slightly looks like something you'd have to get the bomb unit in to...
Yeah, so it is a big hamster wheel. You can just hear the Coast Guard, when they see it out there, they think, oh, shit, here we go again. Like he's out there trying to raise money for us. Quickly. God, we've got to get rid of this thing. Yeah. I'm fine, guys. I'm fine. Oh, no, I've gone the wrong way.
Okay, you can see it down there. You're still trying to raise money for us, but you are going the wrong way. We cannot afford to pay you any more cash, okay? Could you please try to go the right way or just do not do this? Do not do it.
I'm fine. Last time, I promise.
We've had to fire 3 Coast Guards since you last tried because we can't be having to pay you out all this money. You're really not helping.
There was another, in terms of like him trying to raise money for the Coast Guard and that being taken away because of how much it would have cost to rescue him, there was a similar story in the UK where someone was trying to raise money for it was a hospital, I can't remember where, and the idea of raising money was he was going to get a Brazilian wax completely all over his bits, including his testicle sack.
Wonderful.
Yeah. The buddy who put the strip on to rip off the wax strip was so enthusiastic, apparently, that when he ripped the strip, it took 7 of the 8 layers of skin off that we have protecting the actual physical testicle inside. Yeah. And he had to be taken to the hospital that he was trying to raise money for and have immediate grafting done.
That is hilarious and awful at the same time.
why would you get your mate to wax your gonads?
Mm.
That's weird in itself.
There's so many things you could do.
I know.
Why doesn't he make a giant hamster wheel that doesn't work properly and try to, I don't know, walk on water from Florida to New York? I mean, that's been done four times. And what have you got, Buttons?
Okay, well, I've got a woman horrified as cooking fish leaps around like a scene from The Exorcist.
Oh.
Despite being filleted, beheaded, and very, very clearly dead.
Wow.
They really didn't need the end of that sentence there. It's been filleted and beheaded
and
definitely dead.
We cannot stress enough that this fish was dead. There was a couple of questions when we took the head off, but when we filleted it, a lot of people really suggested, now this has got to be it. This is the end for it.
She posted this short clip on Reddit where the fish can be seen leaping around, almost flapping its way to the top of the oven from the oven tray, slamming against the grill as if it was trying to escape the oven. To begin with, the fish was just twitching a little bit, and by the end of the 35-second clip, it is fully jerking around as a woman watches in horror. And, you know, obviously she was, you know, sort of worried that there was a curse, and people in Reddit came saying that there was a lot of scientific reasons for it and lots of ways to actually stop it happening in the future. But let me play the clip for you, because it really is kind of terrifying. So here it is. The fish is starting to wiggle around in the tray.
Oh my God.
Whoa.
What the hell? No.
Yeah. So for people at home, this is a fillet of fish, a full piece of fillet of fish, still with scales and skin on one side, and it is literally thumping about. You can hear it there, obviously, jumping up and down on the oven tray, like it is literally still a fish that's just been brought in off the line. It is terrifying. But if anything was going to make you want to be vegetarian,
surely. I don't even weigh 210 pounds. You've lost me.
Oh, hang on. Sorry about that.
That actually worked perfectly, that clip of that guy. Yeah, keep him in. You lost me. Yeah. Did you hear what he said?
No. Is that what he said?
Yeah, he goes, I don't even weigh 250 pounds. You lost me. Right after you explained the story.
I'm losing people left, right, and center.
So what do they think was going on?
So what they think, it's actually because there's still electrical impulses being sent to the muscle, regardless of the fact that there is no head or not even any stomach or anything like that. This one person says, to get rid of them, you need to stick a rod down the spine of the fish after you've cut the head off.
Yeah. Well, everyone knows that. That's what you do when you're fishing. Aren't you supposed to go down?
Really?
Yeah, you go back about 2 inches from the head, and you get your knife and you go straight down the spine as deep as you can, and that kills all the nerves. I mean, I'm not a fisher person, but I definitely have been on a boat where that instruction has been revealed.
Yeah. Well, this other person says applying lemon juice or salt to a fresh kill will also do this as well. And they say soy sauce, that the salt activates the nerves and creates that electrical, you know, current, which makes the fish do that.
But it makes you wonder, you know, I'll bring this up now as we're starting to get into past lives and things, but it's energy that is still there after the living creature has deceased.
Mm.
Yeah.
But so you're saying the electrical currents, they're sort of, they can be stimulated by different juices and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, salt.
Does that mean if you were like a fish that, say, had a heart attack, a sort of method of bringing in defibrillators would be for someone just to pour soy sauce on you, because your natural currents would shock your heart back into life?
Maybe, but you'd probably have to be cut in half to apply the soy sauce to make your heart come back together. And by that stage, you're two fish down the middle. So it might be kind of pointless at that point.
Hey, I only weigh 250 pounds and you've lost me.
Well, yeah. Some Japanese restaurants serve fish like this. Mm. And there's actually cages that they have to put over the dish when they bring the fish out, because with it cooking there on the plate, it starts jumping around, and they actually have to put like a mesh over it to make sure that it doesn't jump off. And it's to prove that the fish is fresh, because it only happens to fresh caught fish. So they use it as a means to prove the worth of the meal.
That would look terrifying, though.
Yeah.
Because that would just look like a vicious fish that they've had to cage, you know, that they're bringing to your table now.
I know. They're still trying to get out.
The Japanese do like sort of deadly, dangerous food, though, as well. There's an aspect to that. When I was over there in Tokyo and I tried the puffer fish, which, if it's not cooked properly, will poison you. And so there's only, now I may be getting this wrong, but I think there's only, let's put it out there, I'm definitely getting this wrong, but I think
just go with it.
There's only 7 chefs that have the skills to, or have the certificate to be able to do the puffer fish. And so if you want to serve this delicacy, you've got to take it to one of those 7 registered chefs, because they know how to get the poison out. And no one else can do it. And legally, no one else can do it because, of course, you know, it's very, very dangerous.
There's a story as well to do with this, which is there's a great anthropologist called Wade Davis who investigated in Haiti the idea of zombies. And it was reported that zombies were culturally a thing there, that they were alive. And so many reports, people that were reported dead suddenly found. And he went over and he investigated it. And I'm pretty sure the conclusion is that the zombies were, in fact, people who were given this pufferfish ground down medicine.
Yeah.
I think it was made into a movie, which was called The Serpent in the Rainbow. I think Wes Craven or someone like that did a movie version of it.
Oh, wow.
There's also another book actually on that, which I really love. It's by an author called Frank Burrs, and it's The Geography of Madness. And its subtitle is Penis Thieves, Voodoo Death, and the Search of Meaning of the World's Strangest Syndromes. And they cover off in that the zombified people in Haiti, and also penis thieves, which is what attracted me to the book. I saw that title, I saw the word penis thieves, and I'm like, I don't care what this is about. I'm into that.
I tell you what, mate, you can steal it, but I don't know where you're going to hide it, because it's it's not small. I mean, you're going to jump on that bus, are you? Because people are going to see that. Where are you going to put it? You'd have big pockets. Yeah, you could take it. You could take it, but you better have. Well, how big are your pockets? Nah, it's not going to fit. It's going to be sticking out of there. I'd put it up. I'd put it inside your coat.
Put it inside your coat. Excuse me. Is that a penis in your coat pocket? Are you just happy to see me? Oh my god. Oh, sorry. The juvenile in me's here. Sorry.
Okay, well, now the moment you've all been waiting for, and it's Dan's news. So let's go. It's Dan.
Okay, well, this is a headline in the Daily Star newspaper, a British newspaper. Spooky kid claims he remembers past life before he died, freaking out dad.
We need a new segment for this, surely. We can't just roll into a headline there. Like, this needs to be called self-headline or headlines about me.
No, I think what Dan's trying to do is Dan's doing his thing where he reveals something and then he goes, and that kid was me.
Remember of course. No, hang on. Yeah, what was it called? The Dan unveil.
I was doing an unveil.
The famous Schreiber unveil. So I think what we should do is we should just edit this around so that we can do the Schreiber unveil, because they're always fun for people.
Okay.
I don't know how that's going to work, because we've just done the comeback special and we've talked about past lives and all that. But do it again anyway, Dan, and just see if Leon can work it out in the edit.
Okay,
what's your headline, Dan?
Okay, so this is from the Daily Star, British newspaper, and the headline is Spooky Kid Claims He Remembers Past Life Before He Died, Freaking Out Dad. Yeah.
Awesome. I love these.
And who could that possibly be? Like, what dad? would have that happen?
You're terrible at this.
Okay, let's talk about the acting skills here. Now, we spent the beginning of the show learning how to
right,
act,
didn't we? Did. Yeah, we did.
Remember, staring at lamps?
Do I need it? Do you want me to cry now? Is this a moment that you want me to cry?
Well, you've made me cry because it was Am so I? Poor. I don't, this is the first time I haven't needed a lamp, honestly, because... in fact, I'm going to get you in when I need to cry now. Fuck lamps. I'm going to just get you in to do some bad acting beforehand. It's just upsetting.
I'm sorry, okay? I just can't believe you did that.
Whose dad is that? Is that a dad? Is it? Oh, I wonder if that could be a dad that we know. Hey,
stop it. Stop it.
I'm going to try this one more time. This is a headline from the Daily Star. It's a British newspaper. The headline is, "Spooky kid claims he remembers past life before he died, freaking out dad." Now.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut your face.
Dad.
Now.
What is that dad going to do? Oh, no. Oh, I hope we don't know that dad.
Can we get the moderator in, please, to mute Mr. Buttons?
Now, this sounds like it's not a true story, but I think it must be because I can reveal that the kid who was spooky is, in fact, my son, Wilf, and the dad is me in this story.
No!
Oh my god!
It's a Schreiber unveil.
There it is, the famous Schreiber unveil.
It's a Schreiber unveil that's made it to the newspapers. This was reported in the Sun newspaper in the UK, in the Daily Mail, in the Daily Star.
Wow.
The Texas Reporter, I think it was called. A few other places.
I didn't see that coming at all, that Schreiber unveil. That was amazing. That was like a freight train. Again, a very slow freight train.
Okay, here's what happened, right? It was last Thursday this happened. I'm laying in bed with my wife, Fenella. Our son, Ted, is in the cot beside us, and Wilf is sleeping in between us. It's about 9 p.m. at night. Wilf is virtually asleep. And then he just starts talking, and he says... Roughly, this is a tweet that I wrote. He said to me, "Daddy, Mummy, I had a family a long time ago, and my mummy was called Soccer. I was called Anki, but then I died, and now I'm with your family." And then he went on to list every single member of his family. He said the name of the mum, the dad, the brother. He did it seamlessly, and these were all bizarre names like Loki and Slocker and Lackey.
Wow.
Names that we've never heard him say before. And it was just a moment. So the tweet that I wrote specifically said, "Interesting bedtime chat with my three-year-old tonight. Daddy, I had a family a long time ago, and my mummy was called Soccer. I was called Anki, but then I died, and now I'm with your family. Anyway, if anyone needs me, I'll be cleaning up the pants I just shat for the rest of the night." And I press send on the tweet, and I go to sleep. I wake up in the morning, and the tweet has had something like 3,000 retweets and 30,000 likes, and it just keeps snowballing. Awesome. The most impressive thing is the fact that replies are coming in from parents around the world, all reporting a story very similar to a thing that their 3 to 5 year old said about a past life that they experienced. And the tweet now has over 2,000 responses, most of which are parents from around the world saying, "My child told me that they worked in a building site and they were called Greg and they were in charge of pressing the button that allowed the, you know, what, like really detailed stories."
Wow.
And it's just fascinating, you know, and what's amazing is a lot of the people aren't religious. A lot of atheists are writing in, a lot of religious people writing in. It's just a common experience that everyone has. Wow. Children who says interesting things like this.
I've been so excited to talk to you about this because I love past life experiences so much for that very reason.
Yeah.
That it's like, so many of these cases of past life experiences, exactly like Wilf's, have been proven and can be proven. They can track down, because of the information that they've given, they can track down and prove what they've actually talking about and experiencing.
Yeah.
And there is no conceivable way to be able to show that that kid has watched a documentary or has been given the information from the parents and have been told to say it, because they're a three-year-old. You can't train a three-year-old to act like that.
Just to interject there, Buttons, have you been... So you're saying you've actually been into past lives for quite some time before this event?
Massively. Yeah, I love it.
You haven't really brought it up much.
Well, no, because there's been no reason... There's no reason to.
For us, you're the future guy. You're the guy who's coming back from the future in a UFO, remember? That's your big theory, is that aliens are us from the future. But now you're telling us you're obsessed with people coming
in the past,
to us from the past.
Like, I don't judge. If you're from the past, I'm into you. If you're from the future, I'm just as into you. I'm into anybody from any time.
It's the people in the present I've got a problem with.
I'm barely in the present myself. That's why I love these people, because they are like me. They're not from this time.
Well, that's exciting. And just to further interject, having known this now for almost a minute and a half, I have some astonishing news too about the past live situation.
You remember a past life?
Well, my last show, first of all, my last stand-up show that I did was about past lives. It was called Mystic Time Bird, and the whole idea, the whole narrative was that in my past life I was a bird. So there's that. And talking about synchronicity, I ordered a book about past lives quite some time ago, okay, because I thought, oh, I want to get into that subject matter. And guess what happened?
What?
Then this thing with Dan happened, okay, and then I knew we were going to do this show, the comeback special, because we'd been away for quite a number of weeks now. And not only that, the book I ordered finally turned up, and it turned up today.
No.
And here it is.
Come on.
And it's called The Children That Time Forgot.
Oh,
wow.
And you know who I bought this book for?
Who'd you buy the book
for? I bought it for you, Buttons.
No.
So I'm going to now give you this book.
Really? But how did you find this book, Rhys? It's really, it's like a self-published.
Well, one of our listeners, Ian, the Beatmaster from New Zealand, he suggested this was a good book to go for. Wow. So,
This is amazing. So it's called The Children That Time Forgot, and it's by Mary and Peter Harrison.
Whoa!
What?
Ian's son's called Harrison.
No!
Yes!
And the book's by the Harrisons.
Yeah.
But see, this is the thing. Coincidences.
Wow.
I'll save that, but I have a theory on past lives.
Oh, okay.
But that means we have to play that terrible theme tune, so maybe I keep my theories to myself.
Well, why don't we stick with this, and we could close with your theory.
Sure.
So let me give you a few of the replies that came off the back of this tweet.
Oh, this would be great.
So just to give you a feel of the kind of things that people were saying. So one person wrote, "My mum and sister were in a taxi with my nephew when he was about 3. He pointed at a branch of Claire's accessories and said, 'When I was a big boy and I was a fireman, I used to go into that pet shop.' At which point, apparently the stunned taxi driver almost crashed, saying that it had been a pet shop when he was a small boy."
That's crazy.
That is awesome.
Another one here. "My 4-year-old said another different thing, a version of himself living in another dimension called the fourth land of darkness, which was nearly the same as Earth, but also, contrary to its name, quite sunny."
That's my son!
That's
Hudson!
That's Hudson! That's
what?
Hudson!
That's Hudson!
Buttons' his son!
Get out of town! Get out of town!
Which was sent in...
Who wrote that?
Michelle, your wife, sent to me that message.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing!
But so Hudson, your son, lived in a different dimension called the fourth land of darkness, which was sunny.
Why haven't you told me that
I've
before?
I've forgotten about it. This is the sort of stuff dads forget, but mums remember. That he talked about that world, that dimension, with so much detail. He would talk about how everything worked.
When he was like between the ages of 3 and 5?
Yeah, about 4 years old.
Mm.
So less about everything else, talk us more about how did you feel? Give us the skinny.
How about I do this? I put you into the room with me. So when he told me this initial sentence, I thought, hang on, what the hell is this? It did genuinely throw me and my wife. We were, you know, my wife is a bit more religious and spiritual. She's been visited by the Virgin Mary not too long ago, last year, in fact.
What?
Had an encounter with the Virgin Mary.
You just threw that out there.
Oh, my God. All these reveals. All these shrine unveils. This is crazy. Wow.
You don't just subtly put that into a sentence, Dan. Oh, and by the way, yeah, she has been visited by the Virgin Mary. Not a biggie. But let's back to me. What, in a dream?
No, it was in the lead-up to our second son Ted being born, and she was about 8 months pregnant. We're getting really close to the date of birth, and she had huge anxieties because this was last year when COVID was at its height. She was nervous about the pregnancy. We didn't know if I could be present for the birth, allowed into the hospital, because that's the way things were. So she's freaking out, and she's had weeks and weeks basically of huge anxiety. And then I wake up in the morning and I turn around. It's about 6 a.m. and she's sitting up in bed smiling at me. And it was the first time I'd seen her properly smiling for a while. This is how worried she was. And I said, you okay, hun? And she said, I'm great. I haven't slept at all. And I went, oh, God, okay. What's going on?
She's gone mad.
Yeah, she's gone mad. And then she said, yeah, I was worrying. And then suddenly I woke up. I got a tiny bit of sleep. I woke up and at the end of the bed was the Virgin Mary. And she was holding a baby. And at first I thought, and I was like, oh, you dreamt that. And she went, no, I was awake and I've been awake since. She was at the end of the bed and she was holding the baby. And then she went off and I Googled it because I was worried that her holding the baby meant she was taking the baby. But in fact, it's a sign of good things that like the baby that you're about to have is in good hands. Is what she said.
Body chills.
Yeah.
Body chills.
So I think, she's gone fucking mad. She's lost it. This is. So I go downstairs where her mum is, and her mum's in the kitchen. And I say to her mum, Carol, Fenn's going to come down in a minute. And I think probably we need to have a chat because she's not getting sleep. And she had a bit of a weird thing last night. So I was like, cool. So Fenella came down and her mum went, honey, you okay? I heard something happened. And she said, yeah, I was visited by the Virgin Mary last night. And Carol, her mum, went, darling, I'm so happy for you. Congratulations. What a lucky thing to happen.
Whoa.
So it was sort of...
Wow.
I was the loner in there.
Can I ask you this? When you woke up with her, here's what I'm thinking might have happened. And also there's a couple of questions in this piece. First of all, you're obviously side on profile because you're in bed together. Yep. When you woke up and looked at her and she was, you know, had her eyes wide open and she was smiling. Did she have her other eye closed? Did you see her other eye? And also, was there a lamp in the corner of the room?
Has she taken the Dark Master's crying course? Is that what it is?
She had been doing a lot of online Zoom courses, which I know yours is available.
Because it is. Because when you see the light, i.e.
yes,
the Virgin Mary, the light, see the light, with one eye closed so you can know how to get out of the room. And was her eyeball crying?
Oh, and was she also going, I'm so happy. No, I'm not. I'm so happy. No, I'm not.
Put yourself together, man.
No, I can't believe.
By the way, can I just say that Fenella's a very normal person. I've made her out to sound like a weirdo. She's absolutely not a weirdo. But that she does say that did happen, and she's happy with me saying that kind of thing about her because she was like, yeah, it happened. Cool. It absolutely happened.
That is a fantastic story. That's awesome, Dan. And it worked out.
And we've got Ted. So for her, this was when Wilf started talking like this, you know, immediately she's sort of going, well, this is, you know, totally possible. Whereas I was more in this sort of frame of mind of going, this is freaking me out because what is he talking about? I don't really subscribe to that. So back to the room. We're in there. It's 9 p.m. roughly. And Wilf says this. And he says it with this incredible coherence. Like he just reams off the names really, really smoothly as if he's known it forever and he's telling us his story. So I think, okay, I need to record this. So I get my phone out And annoyingly, when I turned my phone on, the light was really bright. And I genuinely think, because I got Wilf to continue talking about it, that when that light came on, it kind of knocked him out slightly of a concentration.
Snipped him out of
because
it, yeah.
Everything right. slightly became, and I mean this genuinely as someone who doesn't necessarily subscribe to this stuff. I find it fascinating, but my starting position is I don't naturally believe in this kind of thing. I do genuinely believe that he was in a mode that changed once my phone kind of changed the atmosphere in the room. But what I did do was record his story after this moment, and I'm going to play it to you guys now so you can be in the room and you can hear you can hear Wilf tell his own tale.
So tell me again. So you had a family before you were with our family?
No, it was a different family.
When was it?
When was it?
When did you have a different family?
About a very long time ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
Who were they?
I only told you, Daddy.
I know, I forgot. Can you tell me again?
Okay, only one more time.
Thank you.
Soccer. Life Jack. Locker. They were my family.
But who were they in your family? Who was soccer?
The mummy.
Uh-huh. And who were the rest of them?
They were all the different ones, Daddy.
Where did you live?
In a massive house, bigger than my own house.
Really?
Yeah.
What else?
Was it warm there or was it cold?
Very warm.
Was it?
Yeah. What they do want to come there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can come wherever you are.
And what else? What else can you tell us about them?
They left me alone.
How come?
And then I died.
How come?
You said that this a very long time ago. I mean, you need to get on the bus step.
You needed to get what?
We need to go on a bus.
On a bus?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Wilfie.
Is it upsetting?
Yeah.
We're never going to leave you
alone. Well, we never leave you on your own.
But they didn't come back.
They didn't come back?
They did.
Oh, they did come back? Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah?
They didn't want this.
Do you miss your old family?
Yeah.
Yeah?
My name is Anki.
Anki?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lovely name.
That was a very long time ago. A very, 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 very long time ago.
Yeah.
So that's a sort of a little bit of that.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, as I say, he kind of, the coherence kind of went a bit there and he just sort of was just ranting about different things. And I think he almost was just making stuff up as well, you know, like, oh, we lived in a big house and stuff like that. What's interesting is he's never said those names before, ever. It, you know, Soccer, Lackey, Anki, his name. The next day, like at lunchtime, when we were talking to the Finella's parents about it, we asked him the names. He said the exact names again. He just had exact pronunciations. He's never talked about death. I've never heard him say the word he died or he doesn't have that concept yet. And it just came out.
No kids have that concept of death. They think everyone lives forever and this is their their thing, you know. So that's really interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, it was a bit weird. And
to openly say that I died. Yeah, like I died. That's very weird. Yeah, that's the space where the spooky comes in.
Yeah.
Dan, have you done any research at all into who these names could be or where they're from or what the story could be with it?
No, because I think there's probably too many misleading facts in there. So, for example, Wilf, at one point not too long ago, said that he could remember living inside Fenella's tummy. is I remember living inside your tummy before I came out. And he described it being really warm and it was quite dark. And so when we pushed him for more information, we said, what else? And he said, and I had a sofa and a TV. And you're like, I pushed you too far. Right. I asked too many things that I asked you. Suddenly was getting you to work. And I think that's what happened there in that conversation as well. I was getting him to work too hard. I had to,
I should have just let it
kind of just come out and see where he...
Dream of consciousness.
Yeah, without pushing him with his imagination.
And where are you going to go from here with it? You're going to try and prize for more before he forgets these memories?
Well, he's still talking about it. He still brings it up. But I think because he knows he's a celebrity now, he knows he's made the newspapers, you know, he's sort of...
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Fame goes straight to your head, mate, I tell you. I can attest to that.
But I'll tell you what's really fun, just as a just quick sideline, is that, you know, we talk about these stories all the time on the Cryptid Factor, and it's so funny. I'm looking at the Daily Star interview here, and I'm going to share a screen again, because someone got in contact with me to say, would you give us a small interview about it? And so suddenly, you know, here I am as...
you're in the Weekly World Win News!
Comedian and podcaster, Dan Schreiber tweeted and then put the thing down. And then my little interview comes up and it says... Dan told the Daily Star that after the initial spooky outburst, his son carried on talking about his previous family for several minutes. I got my phone out and started audio recording him, he said. My wife and I asked him questions for about 10 minutes. He named everyone in the family, said they'd live by the seaside. While Dan says he'd never discussed reincarnation with Wilf, he has been to Tibet and interviewed monks that believed in reincarnation. He added that his dad used to chauffeur the Dalai Lama's personal monks, which is true.
Wow.
But I genuinely don't think I've mentioned anything like this around him, Dan told us. Otherwise, I can't think anything he would have watched recently that deals with reincarnation either, unless Paw Patrol did an episode about it that I missed.
good. Got a good gag in there.
He says that his podcast, The Cryptid Factor, in which he talks about the weirdnesses of the universe with fellow comedian Rhys Darby, will be covering Wilf's haunting outburst in a future episode.
Oh my.
Cryptic Factor is
it?
Wow. We've finally made it.
I mentioned you buttons when I said it. It hasn't quite made it to the copy here.
Cut out again. God damn it.
That is typical, isn't it? That
so
is typical.
God damn it. Yep. What's a guy got to do? Well, can I just say, I had just recently watched a series on Netflix called Surviving Death. And this series, it's 6 episodes long. To be quite honest, just skip straight to episode 6 because the other 5 episodes are about mediums and about...
Not to belittle mediums.
No, not at all. It's just that they're not very... The episodes, in my opinion, aren't incredibly strong. The one really strong episode that just leaves you with your mouth aghast is the final one where they talk about past life experiences. And they cover off 3 stories of children who have... experience past lives. Now, these 3 kids give so much detail that there is just completely undeniable that they know a great deal about these past lives. They actually can go back and find the person that they had the past life experience of. And one of them has 25 points of remembrance, of detail.
Wow.
And they go back and find the family and go back and check off those 25 points. And there was only a good chunk of them that this kid got right.
What are the points like, out of curiosity?
Things like, I lived on a street that had the word rock in it, and he lived on Roxborough Terrace, this guy that he remembered.
Right.
It was things like, I was 71 years old.
Oh, when he died.
When I died, I was 71 years old. And they went back and checked with the family and they went, he got that one wrong because he was actually 69. They went, oh, that's a shame. Put an X next to that one, until they went and researched it and found out that he had lied to his family about his age. And his actual birth certificate said that he was 71 years old. So there were facts in there that he knew that nobody else, not even his family, knew.
Why do you lie about his age by 2 years?
Because he was an actor
yeah.
in Hollywood.
Mr. Darby, who's 39 years old here. it testifies to this.
But it was the golden age of acting, wasn't it?
Yeah. There's also a story of a young kid who remembers being in a plane crash during World War II in Japan. And again, they go back and prove a whole bunch of points. And I really encourage anybody who's got access to Netflix to go and watch that episode, because what you're dealing with right now, Dan, and particularly you should go back and watch it, because it's just undeniable the fact that these kids are having these experiences. And the question of why they're having them, and the fact that you've got like over 2,000 comments of people that are saying that their kids have had the same thing. And even for me, I've got one friend I remember talking about this subject with, and she said that she was driving along with her four-year-old daughter in the car one day, and she looked out the window and she saw a man smoking a cigarette on the side of the road, and she just looked out longingly and went, "Oh, I miss smoking." And her mum's like, "What are you, crazy? You've never smoked. You're 4 years old. Mm. You've never smoked.
You're four."
And the daughter turned around and goes, "No, silly, my other life, when I smoked in my other life, not this one." And she just turned the stereo up and went, "La, la, 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 la."
Wow.
Just chased it down. It freaked her out. And I guess this is the point. In the Netflix documentary, there is a university that are actually researching past lives and have been doing so for a long time. I remember I watched a documentary, it's actually on YouTube, and it's called The Boy Who Lived Before, and it's a little boy in Scotland who has an incredible story. He remembers exactly where he grew up in a past life, and this same doctor from this university came over and researched that. It's a very old documentary from BBC. And I've actually reached out to him to see whether or not we can interview him. Mm. He hasn't gotten back to me yet. We may never hear from him ever again. But I'm just fascinated.
Not in this life.
What did you write? Makes you say that.
Well,
was the dick pic necessary as an attachment?
No.
Yeah, you can have this, mate, but I don't know how you're going to get away with it. Have you got a coat or something you could slide it in? Because it's pretty big. It's all yours.
No, I just mean that if he was, when you were contacted from a comedy-based podcast to come and you're a proper science doctor and you get asked I don't know. We will see. But I'm just keen to try and find out. Like, there surely should be some advice to be able to give people like you and those 2,000 people.
This was my advice that I gave you to give Dan, and I'll give it again. And I think it is a very sensitive subject because you've got to be careful. He's already now, as you know, been put in the newspapers and he knows about this. And the thing is that, yes, these past lives, they are real, and so it makes us really believe in reincarnation, and I'm certainly on board with it, but we've got to be careful because it also, you know, these memories do fade, and then they get on with their life, but if they're not given the option of forgetting their previous life, it'll always be with them, and it may affect their performance in their current life, and that's my worry, because after watching that documentary with you, Buttons, you could see these kids who are now adults still getting upset about it. And if they hadn't have just let it go.
It's been perpetuated.
Yeah, and it kind of, it really affected their current life. And you don't want that. Yeah. And, you know, the adult that was still had those thoughts of he knew what the feeling was like when he died.
Yeah.
And he still has that. And that's freaky. But
my friend in LA, she saw a bumper sticker that was an advert for a company, which was past life therapy. So as a therapist,
what?
For your past life, you would lay on the couch and she would like channel the Egyptian, you know, local that you were, or the old farmer in a rural British town. And she would deal with your past life in order to make, as you say, your current life not have the hangups of, and that was in LA.
So there it is. Okay.
Amazing.
Okay. That sounds very LA, but I'd like to look this up as well, because I want to, if we actually all have had many multiple lives, and I believe we do, and that's why I wrote that stand-up show that I mentioned earlier, The Mystic Time Bird, then I'd love to be able to, through hypnotherapy, regress and find out what my lives were, because I think they really have an effect on your current life, because you take parts of your previous life into your person for your new life. And you're still the same soul. And I think you still are the same person, perhaps.
I remember when I was a kid, I remember my dad telling me this thing where he went on a trip to Beijing. So I was born in Hong Kong and we were living there at the time. And then we moved to Australia. And so our connection became much less with China. And our trips were getting less and less going there. And my dad was on a plane leaving Beijing after he'd just done some business there. And he said, I remember him telling me this as a kid. He was sitting on the plane and he was in his seat and he was feeling fine. And then out of nowhere, he started sobbing like crazy, just couldn't stop crying. Wow. It was just flooding out of him. And he had no idea what was going on. It was as if he was present.
Was there a lamp in front of him? Because you've got to watch out. No, because on those planes, the lamps come down.
He left the light on, didn't he? He left the reading lamp on.
The reading light.
He left the reading lamp. Gets them every time. The amount of flight attendants that have almost turned flights around because they're like, oh, look, there's a whole bunch of people just sobbing. There's obviously something. Oh, no, they've left the... No, I just switched the light off, mate. Lucky.
Actors.
Actors. A plane load of actors.
After my online course.
Years later, he did this thing where he went to some sort of, you know, it was like in town somewhere and there was a psychic reading thing and he thought, oh, that's a fun thing to do. And again, he likes this kind of stuff, but he doesn't fully believe in it, but it was just a fun thing to do. And during it, they told him that in his past life, he was a Chinese local in Beijing and that he'd had this whole life. And I think it was him who put this connection together that because our connection, which, you know, here's my dad who was born in Tasmania to an Austrian father and a Tasmanian mother, suddenly leads a life in Asia. Like, what's his connection there? There's, you know, it's like as if he was drawn to China. And then we'd move back to Australia and it was like he was leaving there for good. He hasn't been back there ever since, in fact, and from this trip. And was that, and this person was saying that, you know, was this your past life, realizing that this was you severing this cut from China now for the rest of your life?
Yeah,
and you were emotionally saying goodbye. You were crying and saying goodbye.
Yes,
but I remember that as a kid, hearing that and that really impacting me and thinking, wow, it was the first time I'd heard about past lives through my dad talking about this thing. I don't know if my dad bought into it. I should ask him, but he definitely... He found it interesting.
But that sudden sobbing thing, that's also features in that documentary Buttons that you mentioned that we watched together, because there's a moment where they go back to where the past life of the kid when he was a fighter pilot, when his plane went down into the sea, they actually went back to that area. I think it was off the coast of Japan somewhere.
Iwo Jima.
And Iwo Jima, that's right. And the kid was in the boat with the parents. And this is the spot where he went down in his previous life as a pilot.
Wow.
And when they went to the, they were floating out there on the boat in this spot. And then I think he sobbed then, didn't he? And
he did.
And him letting that go. So that's the very same thing.
Wow. Is he still alive, this kid? Is this an old thing? Or
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a fairly new show, I think.
Oh, well, you should drop him an email, Buttons, and let's not get him on.
Yeah, he'll never hear from him again. He'll just disappear. I'll do that right now. Well, the person I emailed is a guy, Dr. Jim Tucker, and he's the professor of psychiatry and neurobehavioral sciences at the University of Virginia School of Medicine. And I'm fascinated to talk to him, to ask him a couple of things in particular. Is the prevalence of this increasing? And are there more and more cases of kids remembering past lives? And if that's the case, what is it? Because imagine if there is the ability to be able to remember past lives really, really clearly. And imagine we get to the point where as humans, we can remember like really great detail from all of our past lives, right? And that it's a part of our brain that we're just starting to unlock and just starting to understand. And it's not woo-woo and it's not freaky. It's just science that we're yet to discover. If that's the case, and we can legitimately sit here and go, actually, yeah, I remember when I was an Egyptian pharaoh or an Egyptian slave or what have you.
Yeah.
So many mysteries of the past, we're going to be able to... So everybody's just walked out of the room. Oh, well, thanks, guys. So that's me done.
Now, for the listeners at home, I saw Dan move away from his screen, so I did the same thing, took my headphones off and walked away. But honestly, fascinating stuff. Now...
I'm just saying, it's a form of time travel, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we will be able to remember stuff.
Yeah, but see, I've never understood that. It's more time recall.
Yeah, exactly. But same
is
thing.
It, is it's not really, tra- not you're travel. Not traveling there.
No, but we will be able to, at the very least, answer a whole bunch of questions. Like, how did they build the pyramids and what was their purpose? Well, we don't have to guess that anymore.
Because you can recall.
Yeah, somebody will go, oh, yeah, I recall memories. That. I recall that life. Yeah. I was one of the slaves, and or I was the architect, or I was whatever.
Yeah. I wonder if this is worth doing in the future, because it definitely seems to be kids between 3 and 5. Okay, before 3, too young to really, you know, they're just sort of dribbling and pooing. Get to 3, they're starting to, you've got sentences, they're excited, they're alive, you know. Between 3 and 5, that's the window. So is it worth just doing interviews with them and saying, okay, and just being open with lives, past lives, and saying, okay, so now what? Do you remember what you did in your past life? And just imagine that and just see
what you can get.
What the results are on that. Yeah. How many of the kids, what the percentage would be of them actually going, oh, thanks for asking me that. Yeah, absolutely. I was a such and such in the year such and such. And how many would actually reveal
I was thinking, do you remember that TV show, that old TV show, Kids Say the Darndest Things?
Yeah.
It was always really lighthearted. Would it be great if all the answers were like this?
Yes. Kids say the weirdest things.
The weirdest things,
things.
Exactly.
Oh, that's another free idea there, free TV show idea for all your producers out there.
Well, if you all you producers out there, the three of us will be hosting that, okay? And it's going to be weird having three hosts, I know.
Copywriter.
Especially through Zoom.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay, what's the time?
Damn it, I
hang on, I've got to do an audio signature. 4:18 RMW.
Oh, great. I'm glad we've got that.
Yeah, that
was So I've just had a quick look at this, the book. It's quite incredible. They've got here basically a list of all the examples, and there's some incredible stuff here, like girl remembers her own funeral. Boy remembers assassination of Thomas Becket. Young boy remembers being a German bomber pilot.
How do you... Sorry, Buttons.
Yeah.
Just because that's fascinating what you just said. A girl remembers her own funeral. So she's not remembering a past life. She's remembering... She's the intermediate between the next life.
Yeah, that's right.
How interesting.
Also, some of the other ones, maybe Reese and I can read at bedtime tonight. Boy remembers being a commando. That one sounds good. This one, which I'm fascinated by, girl remembers being a witch and drinking blackbird blood.
Right.
Ooh. So these are some, this is going to be some really good nighttime reading. I could.
So when you say bedtime reading, are you guys sleeping in the same bed? Is that...
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
Have you heard of the popular Jim Henson characters, Bert and Ernie?
Yeah.
I think I know which one I am.
I think they were in separate beds. I think you're more Eric and Ernie, Morecambe and Wise, who were in the same bed.
Oh, is that the same bed?
Yeah, I think Bert and Ernie had next to each other beds.
It's cold in LA.
No. Buttons is on the couch downstairs. He's on puppy duty.
Yeah, I'm taking him.
So we have a young puppy here as opposed to an old one. And he gets up, she gets up at 6 a.m. To be released into the backyard for a wee-wee.
Ah, is that Buttons' job? Right.
that's why he's brought me all the way here from New Zealand. He had a puppy and he's like, God, I need somebody to take care of this bloody dog.
Well, I nearly didn't after receiving the email. I couldn't believe it, luckily.
Heard from you again.
I mean, the photo, it was so off-putting. And he says, you can have this, but, you know, good luck on getting it home. And I says, look, take it, bring it with you, put it on the plane. He says, well, it better be a big one, 747. And it was, so here
Your
he is.
Puppy could have that as a little chew toy.
Oh, God.
Take him a while. Anyway, that's, well, just quickly to wrap up Past Life Special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other day when I read this wee tweet of yours and got really excited, Dan, I happened to be sitting next to Rhys Darby's Paul with none other than David Farrier.
Ah.
And whilst Rhys wasn't there,
the missing fourth horseman of the of the apocalyptic show.
Exactly.
That's who I was in a past life on this podcast. It's like,
do you have memories of being David Farrier?
Yeah, I do. That's my podcast past life.
You poor thing. And anyway, I thought I'd just ask him about it because he's sort of taken the skeptic route now. He's, you know, he's on another podcast called Armchaired and Dangerous. Jack Shepherd.
Another very popular one. It's people, you know, they move on, don't they? Or they come from something much more pertinent. And then they sort of just have a little play with us on the side. It was great to have him back.
It is. Well, it is. So anyway, here's what David Farrier thinks about Wolf's past life.
Oh, okay.
So David, tell me about past life experiences.
I would say I'm more skeptical about past life experiences. I think generally when people have tales of a past life they've lived, they are either making it up, delusional, or if there are things that check out, I think it's a case of there being an incredible coincidence, which is something that happens.
There's some hellish coincidences, though. Like a 5-year-old kid remembering 25 things about an actor in Hollywood, a little known actor, like somebody that's like B-grade actor, and knowing all of the stuff that even the family don't know.
But see what you've done here. When you told me about this earlier, you mentioned that they got 23 of the 25 things correct, I believe. And in retelling the story, you've now changed it to all 25 being correct.
No, well, mostly.
So
no,
he probably
got 25 right, but they could only prove 23.
As far as the documentary series that you were talking about that validates past life experiences, I think you've got to look at what that series is about. What else did the series cover? Just list off a few of the topics.
Well, there were things like mediums and ghosts and like real stuff.
So if you look at what that documentary maker was making and what they were giving time to, I'd slightly call into question what that particular documentary about past lives said. But I would say there's one of my favorite stories of all time. Is a real story, and it's not past lives, but I think it proves that coincidences are a valid thing that happen, and that sometimes things can seem incredibly crazy when they are just blind luck. And it was a woman who, I can't remember where in the United States, but she fell in love, she married her husband. Her husband had some issues, ended up committing suicide by a shotgun in their garage.
This is a fun story.
He was a donor. The Cryptid Fact is a pretty light show. He was an organ donor. He donated his heart. His wife didn't know where the heart had gone. She went and met someone on a date, fell in love, had no idea that her husband's heart had ended up in this man's body. And so she...
That sounds like one of those things that would be on like a... clickbaity video.
It does, but my point is I looked into this and it all checks out completely. It seems extraordinary. Just what I've told you so far sounds extraordinary. But added to this, guess what her second husband, who had her first husband's heart, did?
Committed suicide.
How?
Jumping off a bridge.
No, same same way. Garage.
Shotgun.
So you look at something like that and you go, what are the chances? I look at a story like that and I look at a kid recounting some past life facts in exactly the same way. It's outrageous, but it's coincidence and it's incredible and it should be celebrated, but it doesn't mean that that child was, also a 103-year-old woman at some point.
Well, thank you for your insights there, David. I do worry, though, that you used to be... such a so much more believery And now that you've moved on from your podcasting career with Cryptid Factor to a, let's face it, a much more successful podcasting career with a lot more listeners. Is it something, do you feel yourself maturing and starting to question a lot of this sort of stuff more as you mature?
Yeah, I think I have matured, and I think since I've spent less time with you specifically, and Reese to a degree, although I feel I saw probably more of you, I think I probably have matured.
Wow, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Like, as we sit here in LA underneath a jet going over, like, what would you rather be here with me or on that jet?
That jet looks pretty appealing right now.
That's all I could. So what did you
what do you keep looking off to? What's going on?
That's what I want to know. It's Mother Mary with a baby out this door.
While we were listening to Farrier, I couldn't help thinking about how I'd love to end this show on the lamp experiment. But before we do that, I would love buttons for you to give us your theory, and really only because I want to hear the buttons fairy time sting.
It's kind of,
so keep the theory short, because I'm really only into the sting.
Okay.
And then I think we'll end on the lamp experiment. And just before that, we'll also conclude this wonderful special and give our own thoughts. But you go first, okay. Buttons, because you are the expert. I mean,
well, it's going to be the closest thing to an expert on this show, clearly, because we're never going to hear back from Dr. Jim Tucker.
Yeah, but out of the four of us, which includes Farrier, the skeptic who thinks it's all just coincidences, which it clearly isn't.
Okay, well, here we go. Here's this terrible thing.
Down in the garden beside the little pond sits a little dainty boy with a special bond. He likes to watch the pixies travelling through the trees. They sprinkle all the magic dust. He says, yes, please. It's Buttons Fairy Time, Buttons Fairy Time, Buttons Fairy Time, come join in. Buttons Fairy Time, Buttons Fairy Time. Everybody hold your hands and have a big grin.
Okay, so the best thing that I think past life experiences could be is proof that we are actually living in a simulation, that we are in the Matrix.
Right.
And let's say the Matrix that we're living in has actually been gamified. And we pop out and we pop back into lives and we come out and we go, whoa, actually that was a heck of an experience, that one. I'm going back in to try another one. And those lives are being built up for a purpose because we need to hit enlightenment or whatever that is at the end, the end goal of that is. That potentially that may be explained by the fact that there's code that is remnant afterwards, you know, that there is some kind of residue from the previous existence which has been stored up in your memory banks or in your hard drive in the space, and that there's a little bit of crossover that you can actually remember a little bit.
I like
bit
the
of
residue.
That. Yeah, little bits of residue. But also I wonder whether or not that, you know, that goes along with things like coincidences, like a heart being put into a boyfriend and then two similar suicides. Maybe that can be explained in the fact that it is more of a Matrix type thing. Maybe things like deja vu, maybe things like ghosts and UFOs and what have you
are all tied in.
Yeah, maybe the very first existence of humans had none of this, had no past life experiences, had no UFOs, had no deja vu. But maybe it's stuff that we have started to script in to give our life a little bit more excitement and a little bit more fun. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a very popular theory, the simulation theory. I think Elon Musk talks about it and many others. Now, if that's true, then I just had a sudden thought. Perhaps the UAPs could be little drones that are coming in to do some cleaning up.
Yeah.
The idea that when we see these things in the sky and we don't know what they are and they move so amazingly that they're not ours, then perhaps they're part of the simulation that are coming in to little squiggly fix bits or to check something.
It could be the programmers coming to program.
They could
totally
be.
And but also there's that belief that, and this is what I'm hoping to ask an actual expert if he ever comes on our show, is
I'll deal with the emails.
Well, if it is my simulation, then surely I can make that happen.
Oh, yeah, yeah, true.
But it seems to be that it stays culturally centric, that American past life experiences, kids remember being another American another time. The one, that documentary, The Boy That Lived Before, he was Scottish and he remembered a life just not far away in Scotland.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and I imagine the same thing with, you know, where they believe in reincarnation a great deal in India and what have you. It's not like they wake up and go, oh my God, I remember living in London and being, you know, it's generally always in the same kind of
cultural
thing.
But that doesn't fit in with Dan's dad, who was possibly Chinese.
Beijing, yeah.
Yeah, and also Dan's son, with the names that he mentioned, are definitely not English. I actually would go down the other route of saying that if our past lives could be from anywhere culturally, then that would be amazing for us all, because we would have so much appreciation for each other's cultures more if we knew that we'd lived in them before. Yeah. So that would be amazing for the world. So if we can, in the age of 3 to 5, get interviewed and say, oh, this is where I was from, and it was, you know, a completely different part of the planet, then we would all relate to each other better, would have a better, more peace and love feeling for each other, rather than that kind of, oh, I don't like the other, you know, because, well, guess what, mate? That was you last time. It'd just be better for the planet, wouldn't it?
That's a very, very good point.
So
and
true.
And also, the other, if not simulation theory, the other theory might be that perhaps, you know, the mother is eating food that has remnants of soil in it that has been grown somewhere where there is DNA left over from the rotting corpse of a previous thing. And that DNA comes in and goes into the mother and into the baby. And part of the DNA of that child is built out of actual DNA from that actual human that they have the past life from. And it actually entwines into the DNA that some of the memories, maybe memories are carried through.
I'd interject DNA. There. I'd interject there and say, I'm only 250 pounds and you've lost me. Can we please play that sting?
Yeah, we have to play that sting.
I don't even weigh 210 pounds. You've lost me.
But there are, just to back you up there, Buttons, there are studies which, I'm going to butcher them here, but people, if they're interested in it, should look up and find the details. But as far as I remember, there's mice that inherit, so it's, let's say a grandfather mice learns the way through a maze, grandfather dies, has a son, the grandchild will have inherited memories from the grandfather mouse. That to go through the maze, or know to tap on the door 3 times, whatever the fuck mice do. I'm not sure what they do.
Yeah.
But like,
tap on the door 3 times.
You know,
come in.
But things, you know.
Now, what did my grandfather do here? I think he tapped on the door 3 times. He did a sort of a 360 turn, backed his way up through into the second corridor.
I don't know why I know this. Bit of a
oh, these cheese? Oh,
bit of a weird one. Why am I doing this? Don't even know.
What am I doing here? Why do I want to tap that 3 times? Hang on, I'm turning around now. This is what my granddad used to do.
But I will say, I will just, as my kind of like take on it, is that I think Farrier brings up, you know, really good points. There's a lot of...
Yeah. Well, of course he does, because he's you, and you're not in the same room at the same time ever. You are each other's past lives intertwined. Yeah.
Exactly. And so, but here's the thing. When this went out as a tweet, a few people on there wrote comments that simply said, didn't happen. And that happened a few times, and a lot of people like that. Oh, yeah, didn't happen. Mm. And it's sort of this new thing, which is known as the Didn't Happen Brigade, And I think that's very bad science because they're trying to be scientists there with that comment. What are they saying? Are they saying that I've made up the fact that my son said this thing? That I've just sort of put that out there? What kind of investigations are they doing? Have they looked into what I've done in the past, in my history? Have they looked through my history of tweet? Like, you can't just say didn't happen. Farrier at least is going, okay, you know, like there's probably coincidences and reason. You know, he's applying logic.
And he gives an example.
But we're trying to fight against this absolute skepticism where it's simply a, like, they're not even questioning my son's validity there. They're just saying that I've made this thing up. Didn't happen. 2,000 people who replied have not had a common experience of a 3 to 5 year old doing the same thing. Didn't happen. Fuck you. That is not how we look at the world.
Well said.
So that's my only thing. I definitely am on the sort of sciencey side, and I look at it like that, but I hate that sort of further close-mindedness, which is just not useful to anyone.
Dismissal.
Well, that's why I want to talk to Dr. Jim Tucker. If he's listening there, please reply to the email.
apologize for the picture.
I'm so sorry about the picture. I'm sure you enjoyed it. But he's a scientist trying to prove the science behind this, and that has to be celebrated. And because there is clearly something happening there, and even if they come out to the end of it and go, actually, it's just coincidence, at least it's been looked into. But humans have this terrible way of shooting down people that are looking into things that can't be explained, even if they are trying to figure out the science of it.
Yeah, but they're not the majority. They're not the majority. That we should remember that. And my thread, this Twitter thread, for me was the most encouraging thing because, as I say, it wasn't just religious people coming in there. It was atheists coming in there going, I had that experience too, and it freaked the shit out of me. There is more of that, and that's what we need. So I was really, what's the word? I was really like geared up. Oh, God, I'm using Derbyisms here. Quick, someone jump in. I got this one from
through.
Japan.
I'll send one of my ones through. Boisterous. You've received boisterous.
I was buoyed up. I was buoyed up. That's what it is.
Buoyed up.
There you go.
You know, restored a bit of sort of excitement about our common experience and not needing to be skeptical about it.
That's
cool.
That's amazing. Can I just quickly throw one thing out there before we go, Dan?
Yeah.
Just recounting a few things that have happened in your life lately. You were poisoned, self-poisoned.
Yeah.
You had
eucalyptus oil, just for anyone who hasn't heard that.
Eucalyptus oil self-poison. Your wife has seen the ghost of Mother Mary.
Yep.
Your son has started talking about past lives. Where is the Aleister Crowley book? Is that in your house still?
No, but it's still next door in my neighbor's shed.
In the shed?
Who appeared on this show, we are just as a reminder, because the Croydon cat killer had struck at their house. So, you know.
And they've now got the Aleister Crowley book.
Yeah.
So it's still in the vicinity. I don't want to draw too many lines,
exciting.
But there's a lot of weird shit happening in your life.
But see, I don't think these things are bad. These are all good things that are happening to Dan. They're okay.
That's why I'm keen to go and buy one of those books now. I want some weird shit to happen to me.
And on that note, some weird shit is about to happen to me as I now take you through the lamp experiment to show you guys how to cry act. And we're going to end on this. So let me just get the lamp.
Wow.
Cry act. If ever there was a reason to sign up to Patreon and become a cryptid knight, this is like a free acting course at the same time as a cryptid podcast.
Exactly. We need to do like those master, you know, those masterclass things where it's like Helen Mirren teaches you acting. We need Reese's just purely cry. Look at this lamp as well. He looks like an alchemist.
He does. He looks like a witch himself.
Okay, so here's the actual lamp, which I usually take into court with me.
And you've taken the shade off. You've stripped it of its.
Yeah, you got to take the shade off, obviously.
It's a beautiful lamp.
Beautiful lamp. I used the money I saved in court for the parking fines to actually buy the lamp. It was $150. Now, for this technique, I will do the single eye cry, and I'll keep the other one closed so I can get out of the room. Okay. I have switched the lamp on. I need you to... You know what I'm not feeling? I'm not feeling...
The emotion.
Anything, because I'm not in a scene. I need you guys to create a scene for me to cry in.
Okay, here we go.
The three of us are in a scene. You guys start it.
Okay. Bad news, guys.
Oh, what?
Oh, hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Reese.
What's your bad news?
What about a you don't walk into a room just with bad. What about hello? I haven't seen you for ages. What?
Well, no.
This has got to be bad. No hello.
No hello. Just straight to bad. I'm sorry. I've sort of forgotten the bad news. I'm kind of distracted. But Reese, are you okay? Why have you got a?
No, I need to replace this bulb. not at the moment, but my wife's told me I've got to go and replace all the bulbs because some of them are blowing and some of them are about to blow. And this is the last one I've got to replace, and I'm just going to wait for it to blow.
Well, listen, bad news.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah, bad news.
My friend's son has just disappeared into the fourth land of darkness.
It's like
Earth, but it's really sunny.
Dan, that's amazing that you've got that bad news. I wasn't expecting that at all for you to say that news. Bad news. That's wow. I didn't see that coming.
Oh God, that's bad acting.
Oh, no, don't cry. Reese, don't cry. Is that real? That's real crying. That's not even pretend. Look at him.
Cut.
Whoa.
Whoa. Wow.
There we go.
Wow.
Just acting. Yes.
That deserves a golden Oscar, that one.
Your face is tanned now as well.
That's Andy.
I can't see a thing out of my right eye.
Oh, mate.
This has gone horribly wrong, guys. I'm actually going to have to go and get some water.
Okay. That's it for the past live special.
Okay, see you next week.
Bye. Good night.
Tell you what, I'd hate to live through that again.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.